Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard. Not the billiards. It was...
Billiards room.
Come on already. Come on. We call it the...
The place to be.
The place to be. Yes, the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said.
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is now time for the Place to Be podcast. And now your hosts, Justin Rosero and Scott Criscolo.
Very nice, Mr. Crisbola. Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, and we have a great show for you planned tonight as we return to the cornucopia of headlines, as my PIC likes to say. Of course, that is Scott Criscolo. Scott, how you doing?
JR, always a pleasure, sir. Welcome, everyone, to yet another wonderful headline edition of the Place to Be podcast. We got a lot to go over tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The usual, as you said, cornucopia of fun and games, Raw, SmackDown. Our now weekly WrestleMania chats, or WrestleMania Bitch Fest,
yes.
as the last 2 weeks have been. Got some stories on that to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, our wonderful news and notes brought to you by our good friends at WrestleChat.net. News is not as saucy as it's been the last couple weeks, but we still got some stuff to talk about. And then, of course, the big story. Actually, this story might be actually bigger than any wrestling news going out at the moment. That is, of course, the end of an era in Indianapolis. As earlier today, the press conference made it official.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a new quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts in 2012. We'll talk about that later on. And we'll talk a little Big East tournament. And although our special guest this week may want to talk about the ACC tournament and other college hoops, as we are a few days away from Selection Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But first, why don't you bring in our special guest this evening.
That's right. He seemed lonely on Twitter, so I invited him to come on to kill some time here tonight with us. And that is, of course, our Broham, the proprietor of the history of WWE.com, Graham Cawthon. Graham, welcome back.
Hey, guys. That makes me sound very desperate.
That was the goal.
Okay.
Yes. And you're desperate to have something better to chew on this time around than thinking about that unbelievably awesome vault you you debuted with us on.
You better give me some good news bits or something. You got to give me something to work with this time.
Well, you know, it's funny, Graham. I was actually thinking of our upcoming shows and what we could have you back for, and I kind of landed on WrestleMania 12, so I was hoping that you'd join us for that one once we get
okay
there.
Or if you could go back in time and do SummerSlam 92 again.
Okay, we can do that.
I can talk about that all night.
Well, why don't you just record some sound bits of it, and we'll edit them all in.
I'll just record myself watching the show. Hey, here's 3 hours of audio I did for you.
Yeah, I'll go through it and filter through it for you.
Oh, God. Well, get your Iron Man notes down, because it's a long match, and it'll probably have a lot of talking. But
yes.
All right, why don't we get down to business, and mm-hmm. what we open with usually, Graham, with our headline show, is we go over this past week's Raw. And it was actually a very important Raw,
mm-hmm.
important for the company. They were hoping for a big rating spike, amongst other things, because the show was pretty loaded in terms of personalities. And we'll talk about whether or not they achieved that when we do the rating a little bit later. What we've been doing, Graham, is we've just been throwing some stuff out, and my PSC and I just kind of banter off. We try to go bit by bit, but the show's too long, and at times too dull, and we don't want to belabor it. So there's no
planning involved.
No planning. We pick okay. something, Graham. We pick
much
something
like the show itself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, we picked the main bits, the main things that people wanted to see, the things that really would help the rating, and kind of banter it about. So we'll start here. In fact, Broham, we'll let you start first. What did you think of the opening back and forth between the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, who made his return after being off for a couple weeks, and the game Triple H? Shawn got the answer from Triple H he wanted. Of course, he will face The Undertaker at WrestleMania 28. We'll talk about later what the big news bit of this interview was. But overall, this whole promo segment to start the show, what did you think of it?
I thought it was fine. I don't know if they should have opened the show with it, but you know, with Rock and Cena closing the show, they probably needed some other Shawn type level superstar to come out and just kind of get the crowd going. And I think it worked. I think he had some. He's always had pretty good chemistry with Triple H, so I thought the segment came off well. And when, as a fan, you're watching it, going, "Oh, Shawn didn't necessarily see what happened between Triple H and Undertaker, and he's really curious to see what made Triple H change his mind, and this is going to be pretty comedic." Mm. And then, of course, they show that, and Triple H doesn't really want to look at Shawn in the face, and Shawn's like, "So, you think you're better than me?" I thought it was good.
Yeah.
it may have gone on a little bit too long, but that's just me nitpicking.
Mm-hmm. What did you feel about Shawn just kind of dropping in that he's the special referee? Do you think that should have been something they talked about earlier and expounded upon it, or do you like it as kind of a cliffhanger for next week? I believe Shawn's supposed to be on again next week, I think.
Mm-hmm. I wish they would have hit it harder throughout the rest of this show.
Right.
Because it kind of seemed after this segment, then the whole rest of the show was Cena Rock.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Because he just kind of left it go. Yeah. He just kind of like mentions it at the end, and then that was it. He's like, "Oh, by the way, I'm the special ref." And then he runs away.
Yeah. And I think for anyone, like certainly all of us that have been following this for the past year and a half, we've kind of seen that this was coming.
Right.
Like, I think there was even talk before last year's WrestleMania that could be a potential.
Yes. Yeah, it was talked about.
Yeah, we definitely thought that was going to happen from all the rumors that were out there. And then this year, once he popped up on TV, you knew he had to get involved somehow. Mm-hmm. Let's get your thoughts. What do you think of the Hell in a Cell gimmick for this match?
I think the gimmick is going to make up for whatever limitations those guys are working with based on their age and based on their previous injuries. I think the Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania is something that we haven't had. Well, we've never had a good one, and we've only had one other one, and that was 1999. Mm-hmm. So I'm very curious to see how this setup is going to work. They're in an outdoor arena, outdoor stadium. Never had Hell in a Cell in outdoor. And I think it works well with the card because it's last year it was just a brawl. This year, as Hell in a Cell, it's almost a special attraction.
Right.
So you're not expecting Punk Jericho because that's going to be – everyone's expecting that to be a super, you know, well-contested wrestling match. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be Cena Rock, which I think is going to be more spectacle and more fan interaction than necessarily a classic match. So it's going to stand off by itself, and I think this card is shaping up to be really unique, and I think this could go down as one of the better WrestleManias.
I agree, and this is actually something we debated the last couple of weeks. We'll save that for when we get to the WrestleMania segment, because I want to get your take kind of overall where this WrestleMania could stand in, throughout history. Both importance-wise and card-wise. But, yeah, I like the gimmick, too. I think it adds something that the match... I don't think they could have gone out there alone with nothing again and delivered better than what they did last year. So do you think this is going to lead to anything, any kind of Shawn return, or do you think it's a one-off thing? Do you see a Shawn-Triple H match? That's something that I've seen bantered about.
If it is, maybe for the next year's WrestleMania, but nothing immediate.
Right, I agree.
And I think for Shawn to come back, I think it would have to be something that he was up for, that he could, you know, 100% put himself into.
Right.
And also 100% call the shots on. Mm-hmm. And say, okay, I'll come back, but I'll come back under these circumstances. You know, I want to work with Hunter, but I want to, you know, this is where we want to go with it. And I think it would be a long, drawn-out process.
Right. Yeah, the gimmick I've seen, or the idea I've seen thrown around the most, is that it would be, yeah, him and Hunter in a Hunter's retirement match, basically, at Mania next year.
That could sell.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what they would need to do is because, you know, technically, storyline, of course, that Shawn is retired, I would like to think that they do a long, kind of drawn-out thing where, you know, they got to go through all channels to reinstate him. Not just all right, I'll wrestle. Like, no, I don't want that.
It would have to
You're
be like
draw
Shawn,
this thing out.
It would have to be Shawn, like, costing Triple H here, either advertently or inadvertently, and then Triple H spends the next however many months trying to get him to come back, and then since he's the CEO, he says, I'll even reinstate you, and then the story would be him talking Shawn into the match. But me personally, I like the way Shawn went out. I really don't want to see him wrestle again. Even though I think him and Triple H could have a good match at Mania, I'd like to see him go out the way he did. I don't.
It would be hard to top that. You know, the two matches with the Undertaker.
Exactly. I agree. Yeah, I agree. So there's your opening segment, and it's all set. And next week from Cleveland, which looks like it's going to be another jacked Raw. We'll talk about that later. Yes, Sean will be back because Undertaker's going to get in his face next week. So obviously he's got to hold his end of the bargain. So coming up after that, we have our first title change on Raw in a while, I believe. I'll start with you this time, JR. What did you think of this switch? The big upset with a lot of course, interference and schmozzing between the two general managers. Of course, just to preface this, Teddy Long was in charge of Raw Monday night because this coming Friday on Sci-Fi, Marty Funkhauser there will be in charge of SmackDown. So after some bantering back and forth and a lot of crap going on, Santino Marella.
P.S. Your cunt is in the sink.
Not tonight. Or at least not in this segment. You're up in the next segment. As of right now, Santino Marella, who right now is sitting in the Broham's brand new study in his nice home, looking at his looking at the house shows from the Cap Center, 1987.
He won't leave.
He says he'll give you his own cope. Yeah, exactly. He's looking at all the Cap Center 1987 house shows. He is your new United States Heavyweight Champion, defeated Jack Swagger in a big upset. I had a feeling. Watching this match, you kind of had a feeling.
As soon as it came on, I knew where it was headed.
Yeah, you could definitely tell that they were going to do some kind of back-and-forth schmazzarino there to get the pin. Jay, what did you think of this match?
Well,
or this segment?
My first thought was that Jack Swagger got his hair cut by Uncle Enzo like Jerry Seinfeld did in that episode of Seinfeld. I don't know what was up with his hair there.
I know. But, I don't either. It was weird.
Yeah, he had a low-flow shower head. But he... You know, they know that Santino's over. I think they realize how over he is, and they saw that at the Elimination Chamber. And I think when Money in the Bank was scheduled for Mania, I have a feeling he was going to be in that match, and I don't think he was going to win it, but he probably would have gotten a pretty good tease. And I think they're just rewarding him, kind of like they did with Zack Ryder, and Swagger's going nowhere fast at this point. It looks like they actually want to make him more associated with Dolph and a team for right now anyway, so I'm fine with Santino having the U.S. title. You know, I think he's earned it. I think he works hard and he's got himself over. And I don't think it'll be a long reign or anything like that. He'll probably be just a transitional champion. And I know a few of the people in our live chat Monday thought he's going to drop it right back on SmackDown. But as we'll see, that didn't happen. So, Graham, how do you feel about it?
I was going to say exactly the same thing. And I was going to ask you guys, considering I don't really keep up with the spoilers, if in fact he did lose the belt back to Swagger on SmackDown, because I thought the storyline here would be Teddy Long runs Raw, makes it very easy to for Santino to win the belt. And I would just assume that Laurinaitis would do the opposite and find a way to screw Santino out of the belt. Mm-hmm. That could very well come Monday if it didn't happen on SmackDown. But I think this is just going to put – I think the title here is just a prop to put more heat on the Teddy Long-Laurinaitis feud going into WrestleMania. So I don't know how long Santino is going to hold it, but I think the title switch here, and if there's another one before WrestleMania, it's going to serve the same purpose.
And a feud really that came out of left field, but has actually gotten really good and has a lot of heat behind it, surprisingly enough, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I'm kind of wrestling with is I don't see who the hell's going to be on Teddy's team, and I have like 30 guys I could see on Laurinaitis' team, so I'm kind of confused.
Kofi Kingston.
Yeah,
it's Kofi Kingston, a whole bunch of... Roddy Piper and Kofi Kingston.
And Santino, I guess.
And Santino.
Wait, did you see Piper as a legitimate possibility?
No, I was just throwing out. And Snuka. Let's bring Snuka in there, too.
Yeah, I mean, somebody. And actually, one guy we talked about last week was maybe Ron Simmons, kind of playing off his Hall of Fame induction in his relationship with Teddy.
Then, I agree with that, and I think he kind of falls in that same level. But then you've got the total... you know, Teddy Long's team really does not match up on paper with Laurinaitis's. Right.
And I think, and I don't know if there's any news or notes on this after Scott, but I think it looks like we're going to get a three-way tag match at Mania. I think we're going to see Ziggler and Swagger, Kofi and Truth, and then Epico and Primo. But I guess now then that would take Kofi out of the tag match. I don't know. My head hurts just thinking about it. So let's move along.
Yes. No, we got some stuff. I'm not sure if I found that in the stories, but it's entirely possible. I don't know. I said this to you last week, and Graham, like your opinion on this when we get to that segment. It just seems like they've top-loaded this WrestleMania so much that I feel like the rest of the rosters just seem so barren and a dearth of guys you could throw in anything. It just seems like the rosters are so thin.
The problem
now
is they have too many mid-card heels and not enough faces. Like who does Ziggler get to fight? You know, like he's got a loss in the shuffle. Now it looks like they're putting Orton with Kane, but I think Orton and Ziggler could have been a good match to put Ziggler
yes.
over.
I agree with that too. Yeah, I don't know. Very, very interesting how they're going to fill these cards up. But then you and I talked about the possibility of them only doing six matches and giving everybody 20 minutes or something.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a couple minutes. So, all right. So we get the first of, and this is where I was starting to get a little irritated now. We get the first of, quote unquote, three Rock history lessons. He's bouncing around the city of Boston, which is, of course, where Raw was. And the usual, you know, one line, funny shtick, stupid throwing Cena's John Cena's merchandise in the water and all this other. I stopped paying attention. I actually put it on mute and was checking stuff on YouTube.
You missed some good lines because I think the premise was kind of played out, him throwing the shit in the water and all that. But I thought some of the stuff he said was actually pretty funny. Do you think so, Graham? Or?
I thought it was fine. And what I've been trying to do over the past couple months is live tweet. Whenever Raw, SmackDown, etc. is on, and I noticed there's really a divide here between the fans that think it's boring and stupid and it's the same stuff we've seen from Rock over the past year, and those that appreciate the humor, creativity, what have you. And when I step back and look at it, Rock is doing the same thing. For right or wrong, he's basically doing the same thing that got him so over 15 years ago.
Right.
The crowd has changed.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd is not reacting the same. He's doing the same stuff. And, you know, there are some people that I've seen who are criticizing, saying that, you know, his delivery isn't there, blah, blah, blah. I think by and large, his delivery is fine. His delivery is mostly as good as it ever was. But the crowd doesn't want that anymore. The crowd knows what Rock is. They know that he's going to make the little jokes and do his shtick, but they don't like the shtick as much.
I want to see some anger from the Rock. You know, I don't mind the jokes, and I thought here he was funny. I thought last week I hated his promo last week, and I don't know if that was by design. We talked about that on the show last week, Graham. I don't know if they meant to make Rock look like stupid compared to Cena, because they know Cena's sticking around Rock isn't. I don't know if that was the goal of that whole promo, but it came off that way to me.
It may have been, just to speculate here, but it may have been just to ensure that it's more of a split crowd at WrestleMania.
Right, and that's exactly what Scott and I kind of surmised at the end of our conversation last week, is that Rock has never been that outclassed. So to me, for it to be that obvious and for Cena to call him out with the notes on the wrist and all that stuff, that had to be set up ahead of time. It had to be.
Mm-hmm.
Although Rock didn't look like he was too thrilled about the whole.
Yeah,
so maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I don't know.
He's also very good.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. So he did the throwing of the merchandise in the water, which I guess was okay. But, I mean, people are still going to buy it, so it ain't going to matter. Eve Torres has her first match since turning heel, and she squashes Alicia Fox. After the match, Eve's taunting Kelly, but then the Long Island IC comes back, not as crippled and multi with all sorts of crap on him, but he walks out and gets a big pop, comes out to the stage, he's using a cane. He's glad he and Eve never hooked up because it's broskies before hoskies. Of course, we have a nice hosky line. They'll milk that for a couple months anyway. Then they go backstage, they have a little banter, and then Eve plays tonsil hockey with him. And of course, Zach has that shitty grin on his face.
This is another thing I'm confused about, because Kane versus Zack Ryder seems like an obvious WrestleMania match. They built to it for so many months with Eve and everything. And all of a sudden you're veering Kane off with Orton for no reason, just apparently to give Orton something to do. Why not do Orton, Dolph, and Zack and Kane? Even if Zack and Kane is 4 minutes, that deserves some kind of blow off on pay-per-view.
What do you think of that, Graham?
I like it. I think a few weeks ago I was even speculating is if they wanted to even pair Kane and Eve together, if only for the blow off with Ryder.
Right.
Mm.
And if they did do that, and then you bring another diva in to be with Zach, and it looks like maybe Kelly or something like that could be with him as well. So you do kind of a mixed tag type of thing. So it just seems weird that the lower card of this Mania, which I think is going to be very good. The upper card looks very good. The lower card is just such a kind of a bungled mess right now. Seems like they don't have much direction for it. Mm.
Yeah, I agree as well. You know, we'll see. I mean, obviously, they're running out of Raws, so they better get something going fast. They've got, what, maybe three left, I guess. So
yeah.
Okay, so then we have a promo that I really liked, actually. And that was the promo of John Cena alone by himself in the empty TD Garden. Obviously shot earlier in the day, obviously. You know, it was very serious. And I think everything he said was legit. It was almost like a shoot, you know, like,
yeah,
look, I need this match. You know, I've won so many. I mean, I've won main events at WrestleMania. I've beaten Triple H, I've beaten Shawn Michaels. And he didn't say that, but I mean, obviously kind of expounding on it. He's won big matches at WrestleMania. But this one I need because, yeah, everything does go in the toilet if I don't win this match. He's right. It's almost like a worked shoot.
Well, Cena has had the reason I've kind of been edging towards Cena lately is that he at least has a point. He has some juice behind what he's saying.
Right.
And Rock just seems like he's there to have the match. You know, I don't feel that same urgency or same anger coming from Rock just yet.
I feel that Rock needs a purpose. We talked about this last week. Enough. All right. So you don't like the guy. You're going to bust his stones and then beat him. And then what? And then you're going to leave.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I almost think people need to say things like, Rock, you know, if you're going to destroy one of the biggest money makers of this company, you're going to stick around and replace him, or are you just going to leave and leave us with nothing? Like somebody we need a little more teeth to keep this going instead of the funny lines and the throwing stuff in the river and blah, blah, blah. At least Cena's saying, look, I need to win this match. I'm getting, you know, I know there's fans out there that want Rock to win. I got to get this done. What did you think of the promo, Graham?
I thought it was fantastic. And between the two of them, I mean, excuse me, I'm dying. For Rock to come back, obviously he needs he wanted to come back and accomplish something. Obviously, I mean, why else come back? Why do anything? And obviously he respects Cena, wants to work with Cena, wants to elevate Cena. And I think that's happening. I think for a lot of the fans that are keeping up with this, even Cena haters that not too long ago wanted nothing to do with him, they're gravitating towards him now, if only because The Rock is coming across maybe as stale. But I think Cena is really becoming a bigger star, bigger than he already was, by working with Rock, by doing these promos against Rock, having Rock to play off of. You know, if you could have told me that they could make him a bigger star somehow, I would have doubted it. But I think that's what's happening. Now, what they do with him after WrestleMania, I don't have a clue.
Right. And yeah. Anything is after this is going to seem so low level. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Is he going to go on to a feud with Jack Swagger? You know what I mean? Like, where does he go from here? It's like, it's just going to be odd, but there's actually two rumors I wanted to run by both of you to see if either of you had seen them or believed them. The first is that the word out there that Rock and Cena are actually going to do a best of three series here, SummerSlam, and then Mania next year.
Sure, let's do it.
I have not heard that.
Because there is the word, WWE themselves said Rock is going to wrestle next year at Mania. It's on the website.
We talked about last week how The Undertaker probably has maybe one more match left in him, and I think it's against Cena. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we wait another year, unless they want to do something special for WrestleMania 30.
And so, yeah, Cena Taker has 30 written all over it.
Yeah, you're probably right. So in that instance, yeah, why not? But I think you have to have – which means Rock's going to have to win one of the – well, no, not really.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking he wins –
the SummerSlam match.
No. The theory is that he wins here in his hometown, and then Cena wins at SummerSlam to tie it up, and then Cena wins at 29.
Wins next year at the middle.
Just as an idea, I mean, I'm thinking back to some of the feuds that really established guys like Triple H and Mick Foley. Everyone expected Foley to win the first match. Mm-hmm. Didn't happen. Everyone expected Foley to win the next match because it was Hell in a Cell retirement. Didn't happen. A lot of people expected Foley to win at WrestleMania for the title. Didn't happen. But all of those built Triple H. So you could easily make the argument that Cena sweeps all three.
That's also possible. I think we'll know if Rock wins here, then we know they're fighting again. If Cena wins, there's a possibility that this is it. Because my thought originally when I saw that Rock was going to wrestle at SummerSlam as well, that he signed a deal to be at both shows, was that he'd fight Punk at SummerSlam to help put Punk over some more. So we'll see. I think it's really going to depend on the result here. If Cena wins, they may be done. The other rumor I heard, and I was pretty excited about if it's true, is that they're going to do a one-hour countdown special the week before Mania on Raw, just around the Cena-Rock feud, kind of like a UFC-style build that they do. That 1 hour, like 24/7 kind of thing. And it's going to air again the Saturday night before Mania.
And that would just be with, like, the music videos they've done?
No, it'd be like show them training and have promos from each. You know, kind of like, you know, the HBO does, like, boxing matches and UFC does. So
I really like the packages that they've done on them so far.
Yeah.
I think those have been fantastic.
I think a one-hour countdown of these two guys training, work in those videos, do some additional promos. I think that could be great if they do it. And I know they could do it well with their production. So I really hope they do it. I think it could make this match feel even more special. And I'm all for things going on the night before Mania. Scott and I talked about last week how they have in the Hall of Fame the Monday night after again. To me, that feels so... You're just done with Mania and the Hall of Fame by that next night. You know, you want to start the next year's storylines. I like having stuff on USA the night before Mania to really build that anticipation. You have the Hall of Fame. You have this countdown show. To me, that's what gets you more jacked up.
Yeah, and we used to have the Slammies, too.
Exactly, yes, yes. All right, it just seems like just showing the Hall of Fame the next night at 8 o'clock before Raw, to me, is just kind of like, all right, yeah, I'm kind of done now. But all right,
yeah, I feel the same way. You know what I missed? I really liked it. They did it the one time. I thought maybe they would do it in 2009, but they didn't. I kind of dug the day of WrestleMania 16 when they did the all-day thing. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I hope they do that again. Maybe they'll do it. Maybe they'll do it in 2013 for 30. I thought that was really cool.
They should do it every year. Why not? Well, they may once if the network ever gets launched and they, you know, by next WrestleMania, that's something they could do on the network that day. You know.
I mean, it was funny. I remember like Ivory was in her pajamas because they started like at 9 o'clock, at 8 o'clock in the morning or something.
How much extra was that? Do you remember?
$10,
something like that. It was affordable.
Yeah,
it was $10. I think the pay-per-view was – I think WrestleMania was 40, and then it was an extra 10. So all told, I think it was 50 because I think WrestleMania was 40 back then, and the regular shows were 35. So I think it was 50 total. I think it was $10 extra, something like that. I remember having an ad in the old – one of the old magazines, but I think that's what it was. Okay, so next we had the tag match of the main event, CM Punk and Sheamus, Daniel Bryan, Chris Jericho, the two title matches of WrestleMania. Jericho and Bryan won. Rock's second history lesson.
Well, importantly, Jericho pinned Punk, which to me, I think, sets up what you and I talked about, Scott, in the past, that I think Punk's retaining at Mania.
Yeah, I think so, too. Good match, too. Good match for those guys. That's one of those matches we'd like to see. Yeah, it's one of those matches we'd like to see them get more time, but I'm just kind of Joe, you know. Then we have Rock's second history lesson, and he's talks about Paul Revere's Midnight Ride. He's got a cardboard cutout of Cena.
Kind of like Hogan and Rock. Remember Hogan had the cutout?
Yes, he did. Yep.
I didn't like this one as much. I think they should have called it after the first one. I think by this point, it was, and then by the third one, I was like, really? Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, all three of us who've been to live shows know any extended things on the Titantron is like watching paint dry. You had the worst one, JR, which was that Rock Stone Cold sit down before, what was that, like 45 minutes or something?
It felt like it. Before 17. It's brutal.
Oh, my God. All right, Big Show fought The Miz.
Graham. And Graham, I'm sorry to cut you off. Where do you see Miz going? Before we get to the other, I know you're going to talk about Scott, but is Miz going to even be at Mania?
Yeah, I think he will, and I think he could very well interfere in Cena Rock.
Really?
Because if you think last year, I mean, he was in the middle of all of that, and he got the pinfall. The storyline this year is he can't even get on the show. I think it makes sense for him to say, listen, Cena and Rock. Oh, I don't know if he'll actually say it, but you know, after he interferes or whatever, he says, listen, I won WrestleMania last year. I beat John Cena. Rock, you're a nobody. You just came in here for big money and then you're going to go back to Hollywood. I'm the star. I could easily see them doing that.
Well, I never even thought of that, but it does make sense given the things he's been saying. But you don't see him having a match, right? Because I don't see where he fits in match.
Not right now. Yeah. There's not a logical opponent for him. But if he's going to do anything, I could see him showing up for that.
And he's someone that Scott and I have mentioned. He needs to go to SmackDown, I think, in this next draft. I think he just needs to get off Raw for a while.
I think he'd be a great if Sheamus does defeat Daniel Bryan and they kind of change things up. I love a Sheamus Miz feud for the world title. I think would be great. I think it'd be a great feud for SmackDown. Incidentally, what I was going to say was this was a news story, but I decided not to put it on because it's pretty quick because it has to do with this. The Miz loss to The Big Show was his 9th straight TV loss.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's hurting right now.
He's hurting it big time. And by the way, I am totally – the one mid-card guy that I've enjoyed watching consistently is Cody Rhodes. Mm-hmm. I am digging the whole your WrestleManias have sucked segments. Yeah. And I love the WrestleMania 18, the big match, you know, Rock Hogan, Triple H, all this stuff. I mean, well, he wants nachos at freaking WWF New York.
Woo!
That was pretty funny. I enjoyed that. That was good.
That was good. And do you have anything about Shaq in the news, or should we talk about that now?
I do have Shaq in the news.
All right, we'll wait for that.
There is Shaq in the news.
Okay, so. We'll wait for that.
Okay. Then the third history lesson that The Rock had, and we'll pass on that.
Yeah.
R-Truth took on Kane. And, you know, Kane won, of course. And, by the way, Orton comes in, lays him out with an RKO, says it's good to be back. And we all, as we just mentioned, they're going to – they'll probably wrestle at WrestleMania. Okay. So, at the end, Cena comes out into the ring. His crowd – the crowd's pretty hot for him. Good night for him to – you know, good night for him to be in Boston to kind of pimp him, you know, kind of get his juice going. His promo, I enjoyed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
not as good as last week.
Not as good as last week, but leveled out. Yeah, leveled out. And then Rock comes out, and this is where. And you know what's funny about this, JR? Rock comes out angry.
Yeah.
But it's not a real angry. It's like Vancouver Canucks angry. It's kind of like, oh yeah, well I'm still a man, and I'll rip your throat out. And I'm thinking, I'm like, oh seriously, what are you 10?
Yeah.
Like, it's just not. It's just I don't know if it's planned, like you were talking about, or if it just doesn't look right. But I don't know. What do you think, Graham? I just feel like every one of Rock's promos just are not making any sense the last few weeks.
Well, like I said, I think between the two of them, Cena is really coming out the star.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's because he has more of a purpose or what. But yeah, I agree that Rock just kind of seems like if he's not making jokes, he's not really selling that, you know, this match is important to him.
Right.
Right.
And it has to be done by design. I feel like this Rock is too good to be like this. And I think he's so good that he is believable and that he's getting whooped every week by Cena. I think the goal is to put Cena over, and they're, by design, have told Rock, you know, let's make him look better than you. Let's let him get the better of you. And I think Rock is man enough to just accept it and do it. So,
or it was Rock's idea.
Right. Either way.
Right.
Either way, I feel Rock is definitely one of the few guys that this take on this would be believable with. There's very few guys you could come out and say, oh yeah, he's tanking on purpose to make Cena look better than him. But Rock is completely believable on that. I was happy to see Cena Senior at ringside. That was exciting.
Always happy to see Johnny Fab. Always excited. And the big question though, JR, and we'll give you the inside joke on this in a minute, Graham, but the big story is, the big question we all want to know, after the show, did they go to Kowloon's?
They had to.
They had to have gone.
I'm sure. I want to go to Kowloon's again.
I want to go back to Kowloon's. Just to let you know, Graham, Kowloon's is this Chinese restaurant. What town was it in? Do you remember?
Saugus? I can't remember now.
Saugus, yeah. It's somewhere in Massachusetts, kind of near where the promotion that Cena's dad is part of.
Mm-hmm.
It runs a lot of their shows near Melrose and all that area. So all Saugus, the wrestlers,
yeah, Saugus,
yeah. All the wrestlers go there afterwards. And it's like the wrestling restaurant. It's like that restaurant in Japan where they all that steakhouse where they all get the jacket, kind of like that. Yeah, it's kind of like that. And actually, JR and I were privileged to go to Kowloon's after the indie show we went to. What was it? September.
Yep.
And we got to sit. And we saw Paul Bearer eating Chinese food. It was pretty cool. The best part was Slick Wagner Brown tweeting promos while eating his Kung Pao chicken. he was eating a plate of Kung Pao bitch. Who the hell knows? But it was pretty funny. So. All right.
What did you feel about Cena kissing his wife after we just 2 weeks ago did this whole thing with this love affair between him and Eve and Zack Ryder? It's kind of goofy. Also, did you either of you see the thing about after they went off the air and he gave the speech about his brother battling cancer and everything?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah. No, it was apparently very, very nicely done. Crowd gave a nice cheer. I think I have a story. I'm not sure if I left. If I put it out
I mean, the more you read about Cena, like, it's just so hard to hate the guy. I mean, he's so bland sometimes in the ring, and he's so played out. But Cena the person just seems like one of the most likable top wrestling stars of all time, right?
Oh, it is. And I kind of come from that mindset of I think he was given the main event a little bit too early. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he stayed with it for, what, 7 years?
I mean, he's past Hogan's run now.
Yeah. He's almost. Because Hogan was, what, 84, 92?
Yeah, I guess I always count 91 more.
So he's getting close there.
Yeah, he's closing in.
To be consistently at that level, to be consistently bringing in the big merchandise and to be on the road and to do the appearances and to, you know, be in great shape and to never complain or crack a frown or, I mean, he loves what he does and he wants to bring other people to that level and he wants to, you know, meet all the kids that are with Make-A-Wish. And I mean, it's just, how can you hate him? I respect the hell out of the guy.
And he's never embarrassed himself or the company either.
No.
Right.
Good Lord, if he ever gets suspended.
Right. And the closest he ever came was during the Benoit stuff. I think he said a couple stupid things. Not too bad, not like Kennedy level. I think he came close a couple times, but not too bad. But yeah, no, I mean, he really is. And you wonder why, you know, despite all the requests and begging from the diehard fans that want to see him turn heel, why they don't. I mean, basically, I think he is a heel, to be honest with you. They just don't. They haven't classified him as such, but he's basically booked. I look at it like Bret Hart in 97. I mean, he's a heel doing, parading as a face, I think. So, but you see why they never really want to truly do it, because he's such a good face for the company, such a good spokesperson for the company. Mm-hmm. This is hard to turn him on, you know, when you get this much out of him.
And to think about the setbacks that he's had.
Right.
You know, when they put the belt on Edge for that the couple weeks the first time, if it were Hogan to deal with these crowd reactions and the fact that, you know, you walk out there every night and, you know, everyone wants to see you lose and no one likes what you're doing. Mm-hmm. If that was Hogan, there's no way that he would still be in the company 7 years right. later. There's no, I mean, for so many of those top level guys, they have such fragile egos.
Plus, yeah, that kind of speaks to the other point, too, that he's still one of the boys. That you always hear that. You never hear of an issue where he puts himself above the other guys or mm-hmm. you know, pulls any kind of power plays. Everything you read is that everyone genuinely likes him in the back and feels like, you know, he sticks with them and, you know, he goes to bat for them. And we've seen it, you know, publicly with Zack Ryder. The way he kind of defends his guys. So, yeah, that's a class act. And then, you know, reading that he got that news right after that Raw in Boston about his brother battling cancer. And now, obviously, that makes sense as to why he was out at TLC and he missed that month when he was off TV in December. This is obviously the issue that was going on. So, you know, you hope for his brother to do well. And he just seems like a good guy. His dad, who Scott I've met a few times, is a really, really good guy.
Yes.
So,
yes,
just a nice family. And, you know, you wish. It pains me when I see people wishing injury on him because they're tired of watching him wrestle. You know, just don't watch his matches if you don't want to watch him wrestle. Don't wish ill on the guy that really one of the better guys in the business.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, so the question now is, what did the fans, did they tune in? Because we have the Raw rating right here. I don't know if either of you saw it. Did you see it, Graham?
In passing.
Okay, so I don't know if you totally remember it. JR, did you see it?
Yeah.
Okay, then never mind then. I was going to ask. I was having two guests, but since you saw it, never mind. The Raw rating was a 3-2. 4.4.
I don't do any tricks.
Maybe it would have gone up from a 3-2. I don't know. You could have sat next. Maybe you could have sat in at Kowloon's.
He's not invited to Kowloon's.
Yeah, he's not invited. We don't want
to. Another thing I read though later was that it was actually rounded up to a 3-3. It was like 3-2-8 or something like that.
Yeah, it 9-10 did a 3-2-7, and 10 to the overrun did a 3-1-9.
It's up, but I'd say it's disappointing for having Rock and Shawn Michaels on.
Absolutely, and this week Raw is in Cleveland at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and we've got two things to look forward to that night. That is the Shawn Michaels Undertaker portion of the feud. We've already seen Shawn get in Triple H's face. Now he'll get in the Undertaker's face. And we will have the combination rock concert / Cena wrap off
Yes.
Rock concerts are always a lot of fun.
I cannot
but he's
wait.
Not a heel. Because if he was, you know, he'd be doing like LeBron Miami jabs.
He'll still do stuff. Yeah, he will. He'll do it anyway.
Yeah, he'll do it anyway. So, because we all know how awesome he is. Sacramento. Yeah. Sacramento, there I go.
Sure to come back when the Lakers beat the Kings and Mets.
Never gets old.
That's dedicated to Todd Weber, as always.
Never gets old. Never gets old.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that next week. I think that'll be a lot of fun.
I think it'll be a lot of fun, too. Okay, JR, why don't you give us the SmackDown rundown that everyone can watch on Friday night on Sci-Fi for my backyard, the Mohegan Sun Casino in Uncasville.
All right. Before we get to the actual show, I don't know if either of you saw that Ted DiBiase unfortunately broke his ankle on a Superstars match.
Yes, I had that in my I had that in the news.
Okay,
poor
guy. News notes. It seems like when he was gaining some traction, he always gets derailed somehow. I've liked this little white bread babyface thing he's been doing, and with the posse parties and all that other stuff. So kind of sucks. Dark match: Xavier Woods defeated Unico, and I believe Xavier Woods is Apollo. Not Apollo. What's his name? Graham, help me out.
His name is Xavier.
Xavier Woods. Isn't that the
Xavier
guy? Consequences Creed? Creed? Consequences.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
Consequences Creed. There you go. The guy from TNA. Apollo Creed, obviously, I was thinking of. all right. So.
Master Disaster, baby. Couldn't wait.
I didn't know he worked TNA.
Oh, he should have. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. To open the show, a cage comes down. It's hanging above the ring, and David Otunga and Laurinaitis come out and announce Santino versus Swagger in a rematch for the title in a cage. And Santino actually retains the title. Dolph tried to interfere, but he got caught with a pair of Cobras. Santino escapes the cage after Vicky accidentally hit Swagger with the cage door. Backstage, Teddy Long begs John Laurinaitis to cancel Oksana versus Kane, a match he made. But Ace then instead makes Long versus Laurinaitis instead. So now they got to fight. And if whoever wins would decide if Kane and Oksana would still happen. Drew McIntyre comes back out, apparently still not fired, even though he gets fired every week. Laurinaitis says he's going to give him a shot to get his job back, and his mystery opponent is Great Khali. But Otunga comes out instead, says it's not going to be Khali, it's going to be Hornswoggle, and Drew wins. So now he gets rehired, gets his job back. So this is another
That's
potential
how you
guy.
Get your job back?
Yes, defeating Hornswoggle.
Yes.
That is not impressive.
So another guy, apparently. So now I guess we get at Hornswoggle to Team Teddy at Mania. Mark Henry finally gets a win, gets out of the funk, defeats Ezekiel Jackson. I think he's now surpassed Jinder Mahal and Tyson Kidd as the biggest jobber on television.
And they were going to give him a push, too. That's
I don't know what
worse.
Happened. Yeah.
I don't know either.
Teddy beats Laurinaitis. Laurinaitis started the match by trying to force Long to lay down for him. Kane came out, but then Orton came out. And in all the mess, Teddy rolled up Laurinaitis for the win. So. I'm kind of surprised they blew that off just on SmackDown. I thought that they'd make that a big selling point of the Mania match. But Kofi and R-Truth defeated Epico and Primo in a non-title match. Michael Cole brought out Sheamus and Daniel Bryan for a face-to-face. AJ came out with Daniel Bryan, but at one point he actually yelled at her and told her to shut up when she was trying to talk. And I hope they don't break them up. I like them as a couple. It's kind of a poor man's Savage and Elizabeth. But
yeah.
Cody came out again to pick out Big Show's WrestleMania history. But then a show came out and Miz and Orton came out and we ended up with a 6-man match. Big Show, Orton and Sheamus beat Cody, Miz and Daniel Bryan. So there you go. There's your SmackDown.
Okay. It seemed like it's a big mess at the end. All right, let's throw everybody else on that hasn't, hasn't been on TV.
So, yeah, I mean, you're looking at that and it's like, you know, it looks like more like Miz and Orton appeared off. So I don't know. I just feel like there's so much more you can do with Orton and instead of just sticking him with Kane, just to get him on the card.
Yeah, I agree, and we'll see what happens. Maybe they'll make some announcements over the weekend and use WWE.com, or I don't know. Maybe
what do you guys think of what do you guys think of sticking Ray on Teddy Long's team? Even if he's not fully recovered, you figure you can hide him pretty well in an 8-man match. Maybe he just does a couple spots, and he takes up a spot on that side.
Sure, if they're that desperate.
I think they are.
Well, we got a story about Ray in a minute. So, okay.
If I can interject real quick, I'm so upset that they're blowing off the Drew McIntyre losing streak by having him beat Hornswoggle.
Of course, I know.
Well, I figured if they're keeping it going this long, they would, you know, overnight he would become world champion or something, or have him get his job back and have it be meaningful and have him, you know, automatically jump all the way back up the roster.
Right, or maybe involve him in this feud with Laurinaitis and Teddy, and he gets the final pin at Mania to win it for Laurinaitis' team.
Yes, and he's like, Teddy, right. I got my job back.
So, yeah.
Screw you.
Yes. You sound like Dusty.
What?
You sounded like Dusty there for a minute. Yeah, Sweet Teddy, Sapphire. I got my job back.
I thought it was a good Drew McIntyre. I don't know what he's talking
Sweet
about.
Sweet Sapphire, baby. I got my polka dots.
Now, he should be in that match.
Dusty.
And all his kids, all the rest of the kids should be there too.
So. Yes. Oh, and by the way, can we talk about the disappointment that they did not pull the trigger on Goldust and Cody?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad. Because then you could have got Dusty on TV and you could have some nice touching family moments.
And I think Goldust deserves it. I just think he deserves that match. He's been stumping for it for so long, and it's just kind of sad he's not going to get it.
And I would rather see that than Cody and Big Show. I think Cody kind of deserves more.
Will you stop?
Yeah.
If anything's getting cut short, it's going to be this match, and Show's going to knock him out in 30 seconds.
No, I think Cody retains. I think
he'll retain. Yeah, I think he'll retain. Yeah, yeah. But I don't think it's going to be a win for him.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be much, that's for sure. But, I mean, I guess part of me is just happy to see the IC title defended in any manner at WrestleMania. Yeah. But, yeah, I do wish they did the Goldust, because I think that could have had a lot more heat behind it. Although I do like the build up here with Cody and Tease and Show, so I just don't think the match itself is going to be much.
We'll see. I hope that it's kind of sad that Big Show. What is his record anyway? What is his WrestleMania record?
He's like a one win, I think, doesn't he?
When was it?
He definitely has one, because I remember thinking they may do the winless thing, but he won at
He lost in 99.
Six.
He lost
2006.
In 2000.
He won.
Yeah, him and Kane.
Oh, him and Kane against Masters and Carlito. That's right.
He's never won a singles match.
I lost to Mick in 99.
Miz won at 26.
That's right. So I think it's just those two.
Yeah.
It's like two. He's like 2-7 or 2-8.
Was he on last year's show?
Yes, he was in that. Yes, he won last year. He was in that 8-man tag.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. So he's got some wins. He still never won a singles match, but
he's like 3-7 or 3-8 or something. He's like 0-7 in singles.
He almost has the handicap. Tito Santana record.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Reliable, but unsuccessful.
Poor Tito. Okay. Only one is first and last.
I know. All right. We got some WrestleMania stories, which we usually put separate from the news and notes. This first story, JR and I, and I guess you, Graham, I'm not sure if she was one of your favorites, but she's everybody's favorite, so it really doesn't matter. WWE Hall of Famer Sunny noted that she will be in attendance for the WWE Hall of Fame and WrestleMania 28.
Yes.
The greatest diva of all time. Very excited. In fact, in the event center right now, rolling in the background, just saw Sunny. You ready for this one, guys? Ready for this one? Slamboree 2000.
Oh, wow.
Oh. Yeah.
Actually, she was still looking all right at that point.
She looked hot. Yeah. The match was...
not the show.
No, the show
was bad. So far, the first match, as I look up occasionally, I'll just watch the captioning on this. Obviously, I'm mute. But it was that awful Terry Funk versus Norman Smiley. And Norman Smiley had Ralphus help him, and his big gut was sticking out. It's just a disaster. And I just watched Perfect take on Sean Stasiak.
Perfection.
And then the ending, and this is the same arena where Owen died. The ending is where Kane takes that giant dive off the top of the cage.
Fucking stupid. Yeah. Well, yeah, so stupid. Just speaking of Sunny quickly, she unfortunately just lost to Trish Stratus in the Hottie tournament, the Place to Be Hottie tournament. We're now down to the Elite Eight, though. So check that out on our message board if you haven't done so yet.
What does the winner get?
It gets crowned.
Your phone number?
Yes, it gets crowned the Place to Be Hottie. That's it.
Yep.
It's just like anything, like Miss USA, Miss America.
Yep.
You know?
Is she going to be on the show?
Probably not.
We wish.
I'm guessing Mila Kunis might win. I don't think we'll be able to land her on the show. So, unfortunately.
You know who? You know, and second place of the tournament gets a date with Derek LaRue. So.
No, that would be last place, and then commit suicide shortly after.
Who gets the date with Giante?
Giante's MIA. A lot's happened, Graham, since your last appearance.
Oh no!
Shh. gag order. We don't speak.
Oh, sorry, we're not allowed to talk.
No, we're not allowed to speak. A lot of legal stuff. I'll tell you off air, Graham. A lot of legal stuff going on. Okay.
What about Borga?
I don't know who he is.
He only lives on when I do the impersonations. Mr. Yeah. Faf.
Okay. This is not a big shock because you and I have talked about this. Most of the WWE Raw and SmackDown crews are headed home for a few days off before getting back to this weekend's house shows. Like every year at this time, it's said that the road to WrestleMania schedule is taking a toll on everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense since like five people have been hurt the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, and you notice Cena did not wrestle this week, and I'm hoping they're smart enough not to have him wrestle for the next 3 weeks. It's no point. You don't need to have him in TV matches. Just don't even risk it.
Yes, TV matches, I agree. However, not this weekend, but next weekend, there's a huge double house show in the Northeast on Saturday, March 17th. There will be a house show in your backyard, my friend, my PIC, the Dunkin' Donuts Center. And then on Sunday, the 18th, they're at Madison Square Garden. And as I was at the first round of the Big East tournament yesterday, they were pimping that house show. And apparently he is facing Kane in a last man standing match.
Oh, that makes sense. Well, yeah, let's do a nice dangerous match with – I guess Kane's pretty safe overall. But.
Yeah, so. Okay, next story. Big Show spoke with the Miami Herald earlier this week to promote WrestleMania 28. Here's what he said of the rumors about a match against NBA legend Shaquille O'Neal. Quote, now this is only the other day. I know there are a lot of rumors this year that I might get a chance to compete against Shaq at WrestleMania. I didn't hear anything about it on my end. I don't know if Shaq was getting froggy, stirring up some stuff, but if he ever wants to take his Nike butt away from the announcer's desk and try to step in the ring, he's more than welcome to try. I teach as well as I compete, so we can come on down and get a lesson. Why are we even talking about this if he's facing Cody?
I don't get it. I mean, one day...
To keep the door open.
Yeah, that's got to be what it is. Because one day Shaq mentioned it, then shot it down, then WWE shot it down, then Shaq came out the next day and said it again, and I don't... Very confusing, this whole thing.
Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea what's going on here.
Well, if it wasn't a program before, it could be a program now.
Mm. Well, it's kind of late, though. You think they have to do Cody and show at this point.
Oh, yeah. Not for WrestleMania, but like SummerSlam or something else that they've got time to build to it.
Yeah, I mean, SummerSlam's your only other option if you're going to do it. I wouldn't do it on any other show. But, I mean, Scott and I talked about this, and in a way, it kind of works out because I didn't think they needed another selling point for this show. I mean, you already got Rock, which is big enough, and now you got Hell in a Cell, like... You're just kind of wasting extra things at this point, which is like a reason why I don't think like Trish Stratus should come back. And I don't think, I don't think Shaq is completely necessary. I think they have enough to already, I don't think you're going to get any more buys than you already got with what you have.
Mm. Another storyline that's kind of bubbling to the surface, possibly. WWE Divas champion Beth Phoenix wrote the following teaser on Twitter earlier this week. Quote, the road to WrestleMania is about to get hashtag pinup strong. At Nat by Nature and I have a cool surprise for all our fans to follow. Stay tuned.
I think a new segment every week is going to have Scott reading things from Twitter because he just seems so fucking uncomfortable that he just doesn't get it.
But I don't do it wrong. It just doesn't come off very smoothly. But at least I'm saying it right.
Yes, I know.
So.
Yeah, I don't
know.
What do
you think of that? I mean, you can't leave her off the show. She's awesome. I mean...
Well, the rumor was that they were going to have her be the dark match. They were going back and forth, but now they're back to having the women's match on the card itself.
What do you think, Graham? You think what's if you were booking for Beth? What would you put her in?
Ideally, Karma.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Karma story.
Well, yeah, I was expecting that, but I think what everything has been building up to over the past couple months. I mean, if it's not Karma, then Natalie. But they got to do some changing on how they're treating her because. If she's just going to be passing gas every week, she really doesn't come across as a top contender.
No, I mean, if you're not going to do Karma or you're not going to bring, like, Trish in, who, you know, she's been pushing it on her own, you're probably just going to go with Eve. I think she's probably the strongest booked. But now they're both
she's
heels.
A heel.
Yeah, so Kelly, I guess, you throw her back in? I don't know.
She's been killed off too much.
Yeah, Tamina? I mean, if you can't – no, they already beat Tamina. I mean, if you can't get Karma back for obvious reasons, I mean, I'm not – advocating rushing her back by any, until she's ready. But if you can't have Karma there, then I say go. I was against the Trish thing because I wanted to see Karma. But if you can't get Karma, you might as well bring Trish in and have her put Beth over. That's what I would do.
You can't ever not be on the show. I mean, she's the champion. She's good looking and she actually wrestles well. It might need
She's in the middle of a great run. So, I mean, it makes sense to have her. It would have made sense to have Karma squash her at Mania to win the title and end her reign of terror. I mean, that would make the most sense. But
right.
I don't know if it's going to happen now.
We mentioned one of these guys a little earlier on. It's still up in the air whether Sin Cara or Rey Mysterio will be cleared to perform at WrestleMania.
What are we waiting for?
I know.
Fuck are they going to find out?
Wants to work with Sin Cara. He's fine. No one wants to work with him.
Yeah, what the fuck?
The hope is that WWE will still have one major Latin star on the card. As Alberto Del Rio is ready to return, the hope is that Del Rio doesn't re-injure his groin again from returning too soon. WWE was hoping to book Mysterio for Cara for WrestleMania this year and try to break the world record for most people wearing masks at once in the same place. It's said that even if Mysterio and Cara can't compete, they can still appear for the world record angle if WWE still decides to do it.
Now, that whole story, I've read that earlier, and that just confuses the hell out of me, the whole story. Yeah. I really don't know what they're trying to say. Are they saying that it's going to come out and talk and have everyone put masks on? Is that what the, I don't get it.
To eat a half an hour.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's too bad, because that could have been a great match, especially in Miami. It would have been cool, up the Latin flavor. But I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, I don't either. And finally, our last WrestleMania-related story, Mick Foley wrote on Twitter last night that his options for working WrestleMania 28 are, quote, running out, and that his chances of being a part of the big event are looking somewhat limited.
Yeah, I'd say they're about slim to none at this point.
I mean, who's left from the face? And once again,
Ziggler, another guy that could fight Ziggler, and I thought that's where they were headed a month ago.
Yeah,
that seemed, after the Rumble.
I almost feel like, Graham, what do you think? You and I, Jay, have talked about this a few times. Graham, do you feel like they put so much energy into making sure Cena Rock doesn't suck in terms of the build, that they've like put the entire rest of the company on autopilot, and now they're like, oh crap, we got to do this, and oh shit, we got to do this, and oh my god, like, do you feel like that they've almost run the rest of the product on autopilot just to make sure the Rock Cena build doesn't suck?
I don't know if it's autopilot or if they're just not focused. We've got Rock Cena. We've got Punk Jericho, which really has kind of, I mean, I think right now we're in a position where, okay, it's signed, they're promoting it, mm-hmm. we know it's going to happen. But really, this could have been started, that could have started 2 months ago.
Yes.
And we all expected, okay, Jericho is going to win the Rumble. And he didn't win the Rumble? And then they have the weird Battle Royal, and okay, he wins the weird Battle Royal. And so I think that struggled. I think Undertaker and Triple H has been fine, but it's also been minimal. I mean, they've gone weeks without really any updates on that,
right.
And then come back and there's some new development. I just don't think it's been focused. I think Cena Rock has been there. I think Undertaker, Triple H has been there, but I think a lot of these other programs, even the top programs, there really hasn't been long-term planning. I think the planning has been week to week. And really, the only build to Sheamus and Daniel Bryan is that they happen to have a match just before Elimination Chamber on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. I think Punk and Jericho is going to be fine, and I think the match is going to be very good. But I think that there were some missed opportunities there.
I think one of the issues is injuries that hit them over the last month or so. And another issue is that they don't seem to know what they want to do as far as like Money in the Bank goes. It's almost like they had that penciled in, so they figured they could just throw eight guys in that like they used to do. And then when they decided to yank it because they're going to do Hell in a Cell, now they all of a sudden have this open slot and they have all these guys that they need to find spots for. That's what it seems like to me. And that's where I think this Teddy Long thing came in. They figured they can toss eight guys into that instead of the Money in the Bank. And then you're still going to be missing guys that are just kind of superfluous at this point.
Well, it's also a shame because one of the things that I really liked about the older WrestleManias, and I understand why they got away from it, but you know, when you look at WrestleMania 5, 6, 7, you would have 12 matches on the card.
Mm-hmm.
And just about everyone on the roster would be on the show. Now, a lot of the matches went 4 minutes long.
Right.
But I kind of liked that. I mean, it kind of gave it that special feeling. And it was also a kind of a reward for the guys that worked so hard that they would find a spot to put them on the show, even if it was Kerry Von Erich against Dino Bravo. Now they've really scaled back on that. And I think a lot of the guys that have worked really hard all year to earn a spot are, you know, unless you're a main event guy, good luck.
And I think that's where Money in the Bank kind of came in, that they felt like they could still get those guys on the card. But I was never a big fan of Money in the Bank at Mania. I love the match itself, but I thought it was just lazy. It was easy out for the bookers to just kind of say, all right, here's the eight, you know, it went from six to seven to eight guys, you know, that they can just throw into this match that don't need any storylines, that don't need any build. And, you know, last year was the first time in a while where they were forced to kind of build some undercard matches.
But do you think that a higher number of matches could work on a modern WrestleMania show?
Oh, I think it could work if they, you know, just gave guys issues heading in. The problem nowadays, they don't just have feuds to have feuds. It has to be around a title or some kind of soap opera drama. You know, mm-hmm. back then, you just had two guys that didn't like each other and fought and built promos on each other, like Tatanka and Rick Martel. You know, there's really no reason for them to fight. You had a face and a heel, and that was it. So nowadays,
Warlord.
Yeah, you know, like you just, well, that had a feud behind it, but right. This doesn't seem to be any of that. It's like there's not two guys on the lower card, unless you're Ted DiBiase and Jinder Mahal, apparently, that fight every week. When they do have an issue like that, it's like that, where they fight every week. So there's no real build, and there's no excitement to see them on pay-per-view because they fought on every fucking TV show building up to it. So that, to me, that's the only issue I'd run into with that theory, Graham, is that they don't build feuds like that anymore because guys fight so much on TV every week. Like, it was a big deal to see two named guys fight at WrestleMania because they didn't fight on TV over and over, like,
right.
You know, Rick Martel and Coco Beware. We didn't see guys like that usually fight on TV. House shows you did, but on TV you're fighting jobbers all the time. So that kind of match meant more on pay-per-view because it's two names. So, you know, as Girl Love Monsoon would say, it's a main event anywhere in the country because that was a big match for TV at the time. Nowadays, you see big-name guys fight every week on TV. So just throwing, you know, Kofi and Miz in a match, you'd probably get a good match, but, you know, the excitement to see that isn't really there.
But is it worth it to the guys to find a spot for them?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, they get the payday. For instance, you know, back in the old days, you know, back in the Mean Gene, you know, SummerSlam report, they would just make matches. Just
and
at
there's
it.
No build.
Earlier,
and
you know,
the
yeah,
build would come from the announcement.
Right.
And that's fine. You know, like just announced earlier tonight. Greg the Hammer Valentine to take on IRS, and you're like, oh, that's kind of neat, and well, then go from there.
And,
you know,
but see, that's a byproduct of this whole, you have to have an authority figure, and you have to have them be the genesis, because back then, there was just some, you know, you had the president, and then you had the committee that made the matches that you never saw or never worried about. You just knew that someone was making matches, and that guys had open contracts and stuff like that. They don't do that shit anymore. So now it's like, unless Laurinaitis comes out and says, okay, this week on Backlash, David Otunga is going to face Kofi Kingston. You know, there's like none of that. It's like because you need a reason for every match nowadays. You can't just – they don't have that mechanism to they can just say, oh, the, you know, the president and the championship – or even WCW always had the championship committee. You never saw them, but they were the ones that were behind making all the matches. It was an easy explanation, and it was a rational explanation.
It's the little things about the Federation years that – suddenly has sorely lacked. I'm starting to agree with you, JR, that we've talked about. And I wonder what you think about this, Graham, that and you've said this many, many times, JR, that we're both done with figureheads on shows. There's no need for them anymore. We don't need a GM of Raw. We don't need a GM of SmackDown.
It's a cop-out.
It is. And it also, again, limits you when you just want to make cool matches. You know? Like you said, in the, you know, I'm hoping that whenever the network launches, that they go back to that. They kind of hinted when we've seen some stuff about it that maybe they will go back to that. But what do you think, Graham, of just eliminating figureheads on these shows? Nothing against Teddy, but I mean, just eliminate them and just have shows. You know,
I'm fine with it. I think they've kind of booked themselves in a corner because they've been doing it for so long. Mm-hmm. I mean, Christ, wasn't Sean commissioner back in like 99?
Well, it started with Vince. The problem is Vince was so successful as that evil figurehead against Austin that yeah. they've tried to replicate that formula ever since.
But also the figurehead is almost kind of like the, in a sense, the narrator of the show. Because he's saying, well, first this is going to happen. And after that happens and this is going to happen, then that's going to happen. So it's almost like... don't turn the channel at the 30-minute mark because this match is coming up. And I mean, it's kind of just like he tells you
Yeah, but they did that for years. Broadcast. But they did it for years without it, just through commentary.
Oh, yeah. No. I agree. I'm not debating that. But that's kind of what the job has become. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just you. Hey, playa, you want a tag match? Well, you got a tag match. It's coming up right now.
Right.
It's a lot more than that. It's kind of like a narrator.
Yeah, I would just like to see that job go back to the announcers. If you had a guy like Jim Ross or Joey Styles sitting on their asses,
they could tell a story
on the sidelines that know what the fuck they're doing, that can tell that story throughout the show. Where you wouldn't need, and it sucks too because I like Teddy Long anyway, and you know he's been there for longer than anyone could have ever imagined when they put him in that role back in 2004. And I really like John Laurinaitis in this role. I think he's really friggin' entertaining, but I think he could be the same kind of entertaining as a manager. You know. I don't think it'll happen anytime soon because I think it's just an easy cop-out booking mechanism for them to have that guy out there that can just, you know, push these matches along without having to put any more, you know, feud thought behind it. But it's just a different day and age. Graham, and one more question about WrestleMania I wanted to ask you. Looking at this card and the hype behind it and the media behind it, and it actually takes a little bit of a hit with my argument here without Shaq on the card. But you have Rock, you have the Hell in a Cell, you got Mike Tyson involved. Does this have a chance to be the biggest WrestleMania ever? Not necessarily the best, just the biggest.
Before I answer that, if I can chime in one more time about the GM situation.
Yes.
I think I'm doing my best to keep up with Ring of Honor right now. Mm-hmm. And I think they do a really good job about the authority figure because it is there. Jim Cornette is there.
Right.
But it's also very hands-off.
Right.
Like, it's only he only interjects when he needs to. And when he does, it makes sense. You know, don't hit people in the head with steel chairs. Well, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, it's hands-off. About this WrestleMania, I think that the potential is there for this one to really stand out. I think the crowd will dictate it. So if they're not sold on Cena Rock, and I have no reason to believe that they won't be, I think they will very much be. And I think that's going to help the match. And I think the success of this show is going to be all on Rock and Cena's shoulders. If it fails, it's all them. If it succeeds, it's all them.
I'm not even talking about success. I'm talking just the hype around it, the card behind it, the build behind it, just everything they have wrapped into this event. WrestleMania has become such an event now. Mm-hmm. We've been harping on this for weeks. It's no longer the culmination of the storylines throughout the year. It's no longer the reward for working throughout the year. It's now become like a giant circus event that no matter what's happened until now, this is your show. We're going to build it with as many gimmicks, as many outside names, as many big names coming in to load this one show, our Super Bowl, our big monster blow-off show. Of all those, just based on the build you're seeing and the publicity and everything they have hyped into it, is it the biggest?
No.
Okay. What is?
What is? I think from a mainstream perspective, 14 or even 24 with Mayweather. And 24 had Mayweather and Snoop and several others. But I think 14 from a mainstream perspective would have to really be up there. And plus, that's when the company was red hot, too.
Okay, so you think even more so than what we have right now with this 24-hour news cycle coverage, and you know things are going to pick up as we get closer with Raw. I guess maybe this is a question we need to examine closer as we get there, but just Rock and TMZ and Entertainment Weekly and all this other stuff that'll probably be there with it covering him.
Yeah, possibly.
Okay.
I think you'll get some of that. I think I have to give them a lot of credit with a year ago announcing that it would be Rock Cena.
Right.
And I kind of wish that I hadn't have gone to Atlanta because I might have been able to go to Miami. But I have to give them a lot of credit for that. I think that was fantastic. And that's one of the major criticisms that WWE gives and that gets. And it's even a criticism that I gave them earlier in the show is that lack of long-term planning. Mm-hmm. But I think this was great.
They made it.
Yeah. And it wasn't something, and I remember when I was on the show right after WrestleMania last year, and we were talking about can they sustain it, and I said something to the effect of they can't. It can't be something that they ram into your head every week.
Right.
It's got to be something where they give it you know, a couple months off, don't say anything, and then they come back with a little something.
Well, I will say this. They almost fucked it up at Survivor Series.
Yeah.
they almost did it. That was not a good thing they did, I don't think, with that tag match. And I think they could have risked really sucking some of the heat out of the show. But I guess that's an argument we can go on for days about.
Yeah. So, well, we do have plenty of news to still discuss. Not WrestleMania related. We seem to have covered all that, but we'll go through more of it next week as more becomes available. I have a feeling next week's show in Cleveland is going to have some interesting tidbits. But before that, we will take a break. And when we come back, we will go over the news and notes and any other tidbits that the Broham will give us. Good to have you on again, as always, sir. But before we do that, why don't we take a break and hear a word from our good friends at WrestleChat.net. Because
promotional consideration has been paid for by the following.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Arjulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Hi, this is Lee Marshall live from,
don't even try it.
From some guy's house in Memphis, Tennessee. I don't know. Trust me, I can't be any worse than any other Lee Marshall impersonator. So, all right. WrestleChat.net is your home for everything pro wrestling, WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor. They have a great message board. They have, obviously, the great podcast. And while you're perusing the news, go to the right. Check out the PTB Gnome, proudly worn by Jordan Duncan. Click on it. Go to the Podbean site, and you can go through the full catalog of Place to Be podcast shows. We will also, with the awesome Nitro music in the background, talk about the history of WWE.com website. It's Purveyor joining us this evening. The Place to Be podcast is a proud member of the history of WWE.com. Features thousands of complete cards, detailed results from throughout wrestling history, from legendary promotions across the country, in addition to informative columns and reviews. It is also the official home of the Place to Be podcast and Scott and Justin's pay-per-view reviews. We just posted a couple recently. Visit us at thehistoryofwwe.com or on Facebook by searching for History of WWE or the Place to Be podcast. Because for anything and everything wrestling, thehistoryofwwe.com is always the place to be.
That was very well said.
Thank you. Now, my Broham, it is 10 years, my friend. And how do you feel things are going? You've been adding the Ring of Honor stuff, the TNA stuff. How do you think the additions have been going?
I'm enjoying it, but really the best people to answer that question would be you guys.
Yep.
And others who visit said website.
I think it's great. Mm-hmm. The site as a whole, you know, Justin and I use it extensively for research when we're doing our vintage vaults, and it's been you actually added some stuff that you didn't have recently. We were going over some when we were writing, of course, on our regular message board. Please join it, bigelow34.proboards.com, the Place to Be message board. We just posted Backlash 2007, and there were a few Raws you didn't have in there. And then we looked, and they were there. Look at that.
They were – well,
Purveyor.
They were in – I think they were in the 2007 year page, mm-hmm. but not on the Raw page.
Right. And are they now?
And that was brought to my attention by someone on the show – and
very angrily.
Yeah. Said, "Dear sir, to whom it may concern, get your shit together."
I'm like, you have a million matches on this thing, and you can't transfer those to the Raw page to make things easy for me while doing my research.
it's there. It's just a matter of me not realizing I didn't do it.
Gross.
Sorry.
Yeah, another thing I've noticed. He's laughing at you, Broham. Yes. He's laughing at you.
Can you guys get a soundbite of him saying "boom shakalaka"?
Okay, I'll look at that one.
Please, let's not go there. He also has some awesome old pay-per-view posters, mm. And it's funny, Graham, you don't have a lot of the 2007s. I've been looking elsewhere because I like putting them up as Justin and I have been watching the pay-per-views. And I don't remember any of those posters. I usually remember a lot of the pay-per-view promotion posters, at least like the Attitude Era, very memorable in our minds. Like Vince holding the roses with all the blood coming out of his hand.
Right.
St. Valentine's Day Massacre. There's a bunch of others. These in 2007, like the Backlash one was Edge playing off of Jack Nicholson in The Shining.
Yep.
Like sticking his head through the, you know, the here's Joe. I don't even remember that. And then I just found the Judgment Day 07, which was Kane standing on a platform with fire going all around him. I don't even remember any of those things.
Do you remember the one? I think it was maybe Unforgiven 07, where it was old school style, like 70. It looked like it was made in the 70s.
Was it Backlash? Was it Unforgiven? I thought it was something.
Because it was Undertaker's return. It was Undertaker and, I think, Mark Henry.
Yeah, that was Unforgiven.
But there's two versions, and one of them is looks like it was, you know, mid-70s, mid-60s.
That one I do not remember. I remember seeing the one that's, like, purple with, like, Taker on it.
Yeah.
Him sticking his hand out. That part, right. That one I remember. I didn't remember the other one, though. That's interesting.
It's in there.
Very interesting. But yes, historywwe.com, as much as he makes you serpentine through to find the 2007 results, it is an awesome site. And Graham, you do a tremendous job. So
Thank you very much. Keep
up the good work.
And of course, circling back to WrestleChat, we hope to have our friend Jeff Peck on soon. Talk some wrestling, yes. Talk some Yankee baseball. We'll see.
There we go. Okay.
And also our other big interview. We're not going to let that cat out of the bag just yet, but no. Stay tuned.
Is it Hulk Hogan?
No.
He's back in the news.
Yes. Do we have that story, Scott?
I was
Hulk Hogan adult
it.
Film.
Well, I was hoping to avoid it. I don't think I put it on here, but we'll have to talk about it.
Is he selling it?
I don't want to know.
Well, the newest thing I just saw about came out on TMZ is that he doesn't even know who the woman was. He doesn't remember which one.
No, that's awesome.
Nor should he. He's Hulk Hogan. He should have laid every woman that he wanted.
Yes. I'm hoping it's like 1988, like coked up Hogan, all of a sudden leaked out now.
You know, it'd be great. You know, it'd be great if it was Donna Cristianello. He was with
Mike McGurk,
Mike McGurk, Judy Martin.
Oh, Judy Martin.
He does a three-way with the Glamour Girls.
Oh, God. And Jimmy Hart announcing it on the megaphone. Hey, baby.
Lord Alfred in his brown tuxedo inside with Vince, the TNT set.
I just had a mental image of all that happening, but then also the jumping bomb angel showing up.
The never-ending feud.
Double pinfall.
The never-ending feud. They gonna have that. Are they all still alive? Those four? No, Leyline. Leyline is still alive, isn't she?
Yeah, I think
they are.
Recently.
Oh, did she? I was like, we could have had that match still. Bring it back.
That'd have been funny.
Graham, are you excited for the Legends House now that it's going to feature Pat Patterson? Like, I want to see him get drunk and like bring dudes back for like hookups and stuff.
Speaking of Pat, I watched the Donahue show.
Oh Jesus, that train wreck.
About a week or two ago. It's the first time I had ever seen it all the way through.
Oh,
and boy, that thing is entertaining.
Yes.
That is so entertaining.
Well, you got the Meltzer mullet in there. You got a lot going on.
Meltzer mullet.
Oh my God, his hair is brutal. Oh my God, so bad. Oh my God. I want to see like an episode of Legends House where Pat walks around and like all of La Resistance comes in and they have like a reunion and they're walking around with the flags and everything. And oh my God, that'd be great. Oh, although Justin and I both say that the one thing missing from this Legends House, if they need to add one more person, is they have to put Dusty in there.
Yeah,
they have to.
It sucks that he's not in there.
They have to. You know, could you see him walking around? Yeah, right. And his kids show up, and oh, what a mess! It'd be so great. Okay, let's dive into the news and notes.
Hi, Billy Mays here with Sorbies.
That's our boy Matt Marzella. He asked for a Billy Mays clip.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I know why. Okay. Number one, fans have been upset that they can't post comments on WWE's new series of YouTube videos. Zack Ryder is telling fans to contact WWE so they can begin to comment on his videos again. He wrote today.
This guy just want to get fired. What the fuck's he doing? Yeah, quote, call and complain.
Yeah, quote, broskies, if you want your voice to be heard and be able to leave comments again on ZTLIS, tweet at WWE on YouTube, hashtag let us comment. That went off a lot smoother than I thought it was going to be. Have you watched any of the shows, Graham?
Shut up!
Well, fine. I'm not going to answer.
Yeah, it's pretty much what he's telling Zack Ryder.
Yes.
Have you watched?
Yeah, I've watched a few of them. I've got we've got a Blu-ray player where you can watch YouTube on there. with the through the television.
Oof, and so I've living been, in the I've future been, down there in North Carolina. What's going on?
So, I'm sorry. What was that, Yankee?
Sorry, yes, guys.
So I've been catching up on those, just actually finding them mostly by accident. But I think the Santino segments are funny, where he just goes around backstage and interviews people and stays in character and is very charming. Trying to think what other shows I've seen.
Did you watch the Road Dogg one?
Serious? Yeah. Are
yes.
You
yes. I did watch that one.
I love and, the Triple H marionette. I think that's so funny.
Or the one where Steamboat and Youngblood are training.
Oh yeah, it's so bad.
I like I like having Road Dogg back in the company. He's kind of a good guy to have around. He's done some good tweeting. Like he's really getting into the Rock and seeing the stuff. And to me, it's good to see that generation of guys start to come in more as agents as well, because I think those guys do have a different perspective. He might not be a work rate Marvel like having Malenko and Anderson back there, but he can add something about showing presence and showmanship. I think he's a good guy to have backstage. And he's into it. You can tell he's youthful and he's into doing it. You know, he's not just there for a paycheck.
He definitely cares about being back. I don't think there's any question about that. And you know, they're giving these crappy, goofy things to do. And you know, if no one else wants to do it, then screw it. You know, it's up to them.
And Graham, I know you're going to agree with this, but like the Santino thing, and doesn't that remind you of like the old Coliseum video segments? I think that's why we like it. They're good character builders.
They are. And I noticed in that. He tends to find – I mean, he'll find the people that are already over, but he'll also talk to the people that – like the Alex Rileys of the WWE who cannot buy TV time.
Right.
And it's a good spotlight for them.
Yeah, and I think the shows – obviously, it's a test ground for if any of these shows are going to be on the network. But I think they're working well, and I think it gives them a lot of, and they've been putting classics on there, and it's not just the shows; they've been adding matches and things like that. So really, I think it's WWE Fan Nation is the handle to subscribe to
and
on YouTube.
Just going back to what Graham said quick, but like Alex Riley and guys like that, if you want to get back to that style of WrestleMania, like you said, Graham, this is where guys like Alex Riley and Jinder Mahal, these guys can come in handy using them. Remember '96 when Vince brought in all the name guys, gave them gimmicks, but jobbed the shit out of them, like TL Hopper, Freddie Joe Floyd, all those guys.
Speaking of expansion, all the Smoky Mountain guys.
Yes, exactly. He brought in that whole crop, Tracy Smothers, and he brought them all in and just used them as credible jobbers. And to me, that's where you could be using guys like Alex Riley every week. And even, I mean, it sucks to see him in the role, but Tyson Kidd and guys, if you're not going to push them, use them in that role. They're names, but use them to put other guys over, and then you're not blowing through the same matches every week, you know?
Well, I would prefer that, too, because they had Kane and R-Truth this week, and I think R-Truth is fantastic and entertaining and has one of the best presences in the company, and I think he's had a fantastic 2011. I think he deserves to be at WrestleMania, and they had Kane beat him in less than 90 seconds.
Right, exactly.
And what did that accomplish?
And we saw that theory play out with the Brodus Clay squashes, where you were putting guys in there that had names. And I don't see why they can't do that weekly and only have maybe like two or three name matches instead, and then use these other guys to put guys over and build heat for feuds as well.
And then they can be the current day Barry Horowitz.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with it. You get them on TV, you use them. And guys like that, like look at Heath Slater. We talked about him last week. The guy's a good seller. He's a good bumper. He doesn't get, you know, he goes out there and makes guys look strong. Like in SmackDown, they actually do this more than Raw. They'll use guys like him and Jinder Mahal on a weekly basis, and even Ezekiel Jackson's in that role now. So it seems like maybe they're starting to edge more towards doing it again, but I think that way you could keep a lot of matchups fresh and not, like you said, fall into the trap of jobbing guys that are actually over or can be used better.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it makes for the rating on SmackDown to get a little better because you have more matches and there's not as much kind of fluff in the middle. So hopefully it keeps it up. But I think once the these shows go to the network, hopefully they keep them up because I think they're really funny. The Are You Serious with him and with Josh Matthews and Road Dogg in the basement is really funny. We were talking about this guy earlier. He made a surprise appearance on SmackDown. Hornswoggle, who was featured in an angle, obviously losing to Drew McIntyre, wrote the following on Twitter, indicating that he had to make a trip to the hospital. Hospital, ER, enough said. Don't know what that means. Don't know if he was injured. Didn't seem like It indicated that he was injured in the SmackDown taping, but very interesting that he was sent to the hospital. So maybe he got hurt too, and now he won't be able to be in the WrestleMania, in the WrestleMania match, and his payday's in the doghouse. Rapper Machine Gun Kelly, whose song Invincible is being used for WrestleMania 28, has an interview in the new issue of WWE Magazine. Here's what he had to say about Cena being a perfect representative for the song. Quote, like me, I consider John Cena to be an underdog. The Rock is like this flashy Hollywood guy. You can't give him a song like Invincible because no one would believe it. John Cena is all about being loyal to the fans, and so am I. I just dig him as a person. I saw the video they made, and the whole thing was intense. I loved all of it.
Hmm. That's good. Stuff never hurts.
And I feel that like song has been stuck in my head for a week.
Yeah. I feel like they really are just making Cena out to be this really just almost like anti, like, I think they really want to just dispel the whole heel thing and just, this is our guy. This is the company guy, and this is why. You know, I think that
makes him a heel, that's kind of thing.
Yeah, well. Yeah, but it's different. You know, he's a company guy, but he's, the company has a different image than it did in, you know, if he was the company guy in 1999, then we all know he'd be a, you know, The Rock was the company guy in 1999. This time, obviously, it's different, but. Anyway, it was good. I thought that was interesting that, you know, he's getting, and it also helps with the mainstream stuff, too, so.
It's funny you say that song's been in your head, Graham, because I still have Written in the Stars stuck in my head for the last year.
Right after I said that, I had that popped back in my head.
Oh!
Written. And then they had it at the Super Bowl, too.
Yes.
And I was just thinking, what, Super Bowl is 9 months behind WrestleMania?
I know. That is one of the few times like they're ahead. Sometimes, actually, they are ahead with music, and that was definitely one of them. And they used that a lot for the baseball playoffs last year as well. That was like TBS's and Fox's big theme. They kept playing that song. happened at, I think it was at 23. They used the Saliva song, The Ladies and Gentlemen.
22. But yeah.
And that one afterwards like blew up all over different sports and TV, and they were ahead of the game on that one too.
Well, I think thinking back, one of the first songs that they used that just blew up was
Big Time?
No, not that one.
Oh, my God, that was awesome.
For Rock Hogan 2, Evanescence.
Oh, yes.
Bring Me to Life.
Oh, Bring Me Up. No, not Bring Me.
Bring Me to Life.
Bring Me to Life, yeah.
Yeah, and then a few months later, just took off.
Yeah, they must have someone in the music department that's actually got their finger on the pulse a little bit, because they are usually ahead of things. That's the one area they're ahead.
Coldplay, they used Coldplay for Angle, and it was before that song was a single.
Mm-hmm. My Way.
The song, My Way. The song that always gets in my head that was in my head for a while, and now it reminds me of bad things, is that Finger 11 song.
Yes.
That they played before WrestleMania 20, and now it just every time I hear it on the radio, it reminds me of Chris Benoit, which is probably a bad thing, or either way, but. Hey, Graham, let me ask you something. We're coming before we get to the next story, I'm curious your opinion on this, because obviously JR and I, for those that pay attention, of course, and are on our message board, bigelow34.proboards.com, we're coming up on that moment in WWE history, if you know what I mean. It is now, what, 5 years?
You mean June?
Yeah, that.
Yeah, we're actually on – we're up to Judgment Day. That's his last match, right?
Oh, on the reviews. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, the reviews. Because Vengeance is the night of Vengeance is the weekend that it happened.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that, like, are we past it now? Like can someone say, you know, I thought Chris Benoit had a great cachet of matches, he had a really great career. Yeah, that's true. This could take an hour. Never mind. We'll get back. We'll do that another day.
I mean, Benoit was the reason I watched for the longest time.
I mean, me personally, I've always been fine watching it. Well, right after it happened, obviously, I was in trouble with wrestling. But
I did not know if I wanted to continue.
No, I shut it down for a few weeks, and that was the most I had ever gone without having a reason for being gone from it. But I'm okay now watching his matches. Some of the stuff we're watching now, though, from that era, 07, late 06, we can kind of see him starting to go. To me, that's the toughest stuff to watch of his.
Yeah.
Like, you could see it in his face. He's starting to look like a little kind of not all there.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the sad thing is he's still putting, you know, we're in this stretch now where he's, you know, he's got matches with MVP and he's really still looking good in the ring, but something's just not right. You know, it's.
Well, no, you can see
it. Well, is it not right because you know what's going to happen next, or is it not right because it's obvious?
I think it's obvious how unhealthy he looks. I think his he just looks like very swelled up and even more juiced than he used to, and his face looks like very worn. Like, he just looks worn out when you look at him during the stretch. Like, I think when in high, maybe at the time you just thought that was Benoit, you know, but looking back, I think the signs are there physically what he, that he looked like he was breaking down severely.
I actually was witness to his very last match.
Really?
The SmackDown ECW taping in Charlotte was the Tuesday before all that happened. And that's when they set up that little mini tournament for the ECW title. Mm-hmm. And so they had, obviously they closed it with Benoit that was going to wrestle Punk.
Right.
Yep. And I was going, as I'm sure you guys are going, holy crap, this is going to be awesome.
Yep.
But yeah, for me to consider going to WrestleMania 20 as a pilgrimage to see him win the title, and I've still got confetti from that night, and then to actually, you know, go see his last match a few days before that happened, that was weird, a very weird feeling.
Well, as Nancy Grace said, he just couldn't handle being demoted from the Horsemen to the ECW.
Damn it, Nancy Grace.
Okay,
what
back
is
to the
Tot Mom up to?
Oh, she was. I hate Nancy Grace. I mean, she's bad anyway. But that whole thing was just brutal. I mean, just week after week
aneurysm.
And night after night, and Mark Merrow and Steve Blackman and all these guys coming out of the fucking woodwork on these interviews.
Steve Blackman. Okay. Footage of Evan Bourne performing the Shooting Star Press has been re-added into the Nitro to the Nitro to the intro to the intro to the intro of WWE Raw. Bourne is currently suspended, but will be able to return to television.
Hulk Hogan, we're coming for you, nigga.
I just saw him a minute ago. He took out Scott Steiner at the Slamboree. Oh my god, this match is so bad. Luger against Buff Bagwell. Oh my god. What was wrong? Oh my god, so bad. You know what was worse? You know what I hated the most about these WCW pay per views? The fact that they had to splash the stupid sponsor on the ring. Mm. Like, you have the Slamboree logo in the middle, and then these gigantic Western Union pick things right on either side of it. It was so bad, so awful. Here's the story you mentioned earlier, JR. WWE superstar Ted DiBiase, who has been dealing with a wrist injury, says he broke his ankle at the tapings Tuesday night in Uncasville. He wrestled a Superstars match against guess who?
Jinder Mahal.
He wrote on Twitter, DiBiase posse last night. I unfortunately broke my ankle. Can't catch a break lately. Ha. Well, I guess I did in a way. It's okay, though. James 1, verse 2 and 3. So he'll be out for, what, probably a couple months.
Yeah. Too bad. Like I said, he's gained some momentum, and they seem to be on TV every week. So.
Yeah. Here's the story that we also mentioned earlier. TMZ reported that Kia Stevens, a.k.a. Karma, has admitted that she made up the story of giving birth to a baby boy on New Year's Eve. Stevens said she was pregnant but lost the baby and lied to friends because she was afraid of telling the truth because so many people knew she was pregnant from television. News of this had started to get out in the past week, although it had not been reported elsewhere, which likely explains her coming forward. She said she would like to start a foundation for women who have had similar problems.
Yeah, awful story.
That's sad. Very sad. And obviously it must have happened before.
Right.
It obviously happened before her Royal Rumble appearance, so nobody could.
Well, I'm sure it happened before New Year's Eve. It probably happened a while ago.
Oh, exactly. And she was already out of the loop,
One news story I'm just going to butt in here with because it just posted. Yeah. WWE creative curtailed Mark Henry's standing in the company following a huge promotion relates to injuries and perception. Many internally have perceived that Henry for numerous years is being injury prone and not tough enough to gut said injuries out. Meanwhile, Henry is trying to break into acting as he feels his days in wrestling are coming to an end. He realizes that acting roles are probably limited to playing bodyguard or bar bouncers. So that's something I actually saw last week, was that it seemed like he was starting to phase himself down. So it's too bad because he just had the best run of his career, and it seems to happen a lot. You had Batista a couple years ago. It's like these guys get this great run. You really get into them, and then they leave.
Well, it's a shame because a couple months ago, I could have easily seen him and Sheamus in the world title at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
And that could have been a really good match if you give it some time.
It would be great if he had just kept the world title all the way from when he won it at Night of Champions and never lost it.
Well, I think he would have if he didn't get hurt.
Now, I wonder if they would have turned Daniel Bryan heel.
Probably wouldn't have needed to. They probably didn't need another heel in that spot.
Right.
Yeah. WWE NXT matchmaker William Regal wasn't happy with The Rock's comments about England on last night on a Monday night's Raw from Boston. He wrote, quote, "A lot of British bashing by The Rock on hashtag Raw. He wants to." Anytime I see that, that's what I'm calling it.
Awkward man ever.
He wants to not worry about so much about John Cena and worry about getting a dry slap from me.
Yeah, just playful humor from Regal.
Yes, but it's good that you know that he's still in the. Yeah, he's really good on NXT too.
He's
apparently,
a GM.
He's announcing.
Yeah, oh, he's like the GM now too of NXT.
Mm. Did you watch the NXTs, Graham? Were you paying attention to all of them, or
did you stop on the women's one? Until. I think I gave up with the women's one, but I stuck through with the women's one. But the one that's going on now, that's been going on for 6 months or 9 months,
a year,
or whatever.
I thought I read that it's made their year anniversary.
Yeah, I think I've seen like three or four of them.
Yeah, I haven't seen any. I stopped after the second one. Even the second one, I was kind of in and out of. The first one I watched regularly, but
yeah, the second one I liked. The first two I liked. The one where Wade Barrett won, and the second one that Caval won. The women's one was okay for pure humor purposes, because that was like when Michael Cole was at his funniest.
Well, some of those women that came out of that one actually aren't bad. I mean, obviously we've seen AJ and who's it, Maxine. She's pretty good too, right?
I love Caitlyn.
Yeah, Caitlyn. She's good too.
I like Caitlyn.
Oksana.
Oksana. And then what's her name? Isn't one of them the Brodus's dancer? Naomi?
Yeah,
one of the
women's right.
The chick from Tough Enough is one
yes.
of the...
Yeah, Ariane. The one who thought that the greatest match ever was Alicia
yes.
Fox and Melina.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. There was talk this week of making the Money in the Bank ladder match a fixture at the SummerSlam pay-per-view to make the event feel more special each year. There were rumors that the match and the pay-per-view that the match and the Money in the Bank pay-per-view would be moved to July, like it always had been. But at this point, that's not confirmed. The only thing confirmed is the July pay-per-view, whatever it may be, has been moved. It was going to be at the Thomas and Mack Center in Las Vegas. It has now been moved to the U.S. Airways Arena in Phoenix.
I like it as its own pay-per-view because I feel like it gives you one extra show that's really worth ordering to me. Like that show's been really good the last 2 years. I know Punk and Cena had a lot to do with it this year, but I don't know. I kind of like it as its own. I like having that, the Rumble and Mania, kind of the big three now in my eyes. And I mean, it's fine having it at SummerSlam. I don't like it on Mania because I feel like you can do so much else with Mania that it just kind of eats up guys and gives them a reason, like I said, to be lazy. So, Graham, would you like it? What was your favorite of the three options?
I like it as its own pay-per-view. My voice cracked right there like I won the Brady's.
Very excited.
Yeah.
Everyone can change.
I like it as its own pay-per-view because you've got the Raw match and the SmackDown match, and obviously if it's part of a bigger pay-per-view like SummerSlam, would you have the two matches? I doubt it.
No, yeah, they'd go back to just having one briefcase, I'm sure.
Yeah. So I think with the July show, and I think last year was one just from top to bottom a fantastic pay-per-view, but you've got two quality ladder matches. You've got less matches on the show, but these ladder matches, they're almost guaranteed great matches, mm-hmm. and they're going to eat up 20, 30-minute segments apiece.
Yep. I agree. Right.
So, all right, I did this one. I picked this one specifically to...
time to play the game!
No, it's got nothing to do with him. It's more Twitter speak, so it's really low. The Miz says he will not be looked over and wants a match at WrestleMania 28. He wrote today, "All I'm hearing is at John Cena versus at The Rock at WrestleMania 28. I will not be booked over. I will not be looked over. Hashtag
stamp,
give Miz a match. Hashtag Miz Mania. I will not be booked on Nitro."
Is he in the opening of Nitro now?
Yes, him and Evan Bourne are in the opening, along with Liz Mark, along with Liz Mark and Super Kalo.
I already have other arrangements, and don't take it personally because I used to be in the dressing room and I used to see the old guys, and that's where I am now. I used to see the old guys that came in the dressing room that come around and they looked like old dogs, just hoping somebody would recognize them. Here, Spot.
Why don't you come and see us?
I really have to be involved, and I'm not.
Hashtag old dogs.
Yes. And by the way, old dogs now trending worldwide.
Exactly. After being backstage,
I did ask you in April if I could referee some matches on the card, but I'm not on the card. I'm not booked.
You want to referee me and Brett? Referee me and Brett.
I already have other arrangements made. Terry,
I want you to referee me and Brett.
I'm just. I guess. Okay. So what happened?
I'm
guess you just.
900 miles an hour.
I guess it was just so far down. I guess you just didn't hear me or something when I asked you before.
A fucking baby.
I have other arrangements. I'm wrestling. I'm wrestling at WrestleMania. I have other arrangements. Hashtag other arrangements. Now trending, daywide. After being backstage at last night's Raw Super Show in Boston, but not used, Brodus Clay wrote the following. Guess what? On Twitter, Funketeers, don't get worried. We good, y'all. You hear me? So funk it.
All right.
Don't trip on what here go by what you know. You dig? No,
sure.
No hashtag in that comment.
Hashtag what?
Hashtag what? Now trending this moment. Okay. The feeling among most backstage at Raw in Boston was that John Cena has won the war of words with The Rock for 2 weeks in a row. What do you think the backstage feeling is right now with these two? What do you think, particularly like these mid-card guys that have nothing going on or don't know what they're doing, what their future is going to be on that show? Do you think that they're upset?
Yeah, I mean, that's the word out there, is that they're not happy that Rock's coming back and taking up their spot. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, can you argue with what they're doing? Obviously not. It's going to be a bigger draw. The problem isn't. Their beef should not be with The Rock. Their beef should be with management for not building stars big enough to carry Mania without The Rock. That's the problem.
Right, exactly. Exactly. What do you think of that, Graham?
Yes.
Hashtag answer. This next story is...
You know, I actually am trying to get these hashtags trending. For what it's worth, if you go to your damn Twitter right now, you can see I'm tweeting you.
All right. Well, Scott doesn't understand what Twitter is. See, he did one today or yesterday from the Big East tournament.
Yes, I did do one for that. I do one every few days when I can get on my BlackBerry at work for it. Okay, this one's from my PIC. Michael McGillicuddy and Kurt Hawkins were stopped by police in Rhode Island on Sunday night, but let go due to their status as WWE NXT superstars. Hawkins wrote, quote,
what?
So at WWE, McGillicuddy and I just got pulled over by Rhode Island State Troopers. They recognized us from hashtag NXT. They let us slide.
That's a lie. No one recognizes them from NXT.
I'm going to tell next time I get pulled over by Rhode Island State Trooper, I'm going to tell them I'm on NXT, damn it.
Hashtag me.
Yes. Michael McGillicuddy, let me go.
Okay. This is just a funny one because we know this is going to be true. PW Insider reports that Joey Styles will be hosting WWE's upcoming DVD set on ECW's Greatest Matches. Styles says the DVD will be original ECW content only. I'm being asked by many if WWE CW will be included on this summer's new ECW home video release. The answer is, oh my God, no. Original ECW only.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm all for ECW DVDs.
Yes. And, I mean, how many really were there? I mean, I guess there were a few.
No, they've done a lot.
The match where Punk beat Morrison to win his first to win the ECW, that was a good match. Mm. The Extreme Rules match between the New Blood, I mean, the New Breed.
Yes.
And the Originals after WrestleMania 23, that was a good match. There was a few good matches on there. This is for you, JR, because you mention this to me all the time every time I'm visiting the Chateau and he's on TV. SportsCenter anchor Robert Flores was in attendance at Monday's Raw Super Show. Big wrestling fan.
Well, him and there were a few of them that were right behind the commentary. Sean Greeny, the Celtics play-by-play guy, is a huge wrestling fan. He was there, and I think Gus Ramsey maybe was there too. There were a few guys that I saw a picture of. They were all together there. But yeah, Flores drops a lot of wrestling references on SportsCenter and other shows whenever he's on.
Yeah. And finally, we already mentioned this earlier. WWE announced on Raw that The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels will be on next week's show from Cleveland. Taker will be there to confront Shawn Michaels after it was announced that Shawn will special referee the Hell in a Cell match at WrestleMania.
All right, and I have one other one that's going to make us all laugh. Mm-hmm. TMZ.com reported Wednesday that a sex tape featuring legendary grappler Hulk Hogan has surfaced. It's currently being shopped to a major adult film company. According to the website, the tape features a TNA wrestling superstar in a state of undress with an unidentified brunette female laying on the bed. The woman in question is not his ex-wife Linda or his current wife Jennifer.
You know who's a brunette? Donna Christianello. She's
yes,
a brunette.
Yes, she is. Natural? I don't know.
I don't know.
All right. Ultimate Warrior went on Twitter to weigh in on his longtime rival's video. He wrote, Hulk Hogan sex tape. Don't need more boring proof that Terry is impotent with tiny shriveled up balls. And finding out he's a lesbian is too much for me, even, he wrote.
You know what's trending worldwide now? Do it, Graham. Hashtag shriveled up balls right now. Next to Kung Pao Bitch.
Good old Ultimate Warrior.
Good old Ultimate Warrior.
The feud that
okay,
never
that's,
ends.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so there we go. There's our news and notes segment brought to you by our good friends at WrestleChat.net. All right.
Yeah, we've already gone pretty long, so let's just quickly talk about Peyton Manning. They had the press conference today with him and Jim Irsay. I thought it was very well done. I thought Manning came off very well, as always, very classy, as always.
I agree.
They did this divorce about as easily as they could. Of course, they lied and said it wasn't about money, when obviously that's mainly what it's about for the Colts end. Quick, Scott, give me three teams where you could see him ending up. Maybe a couple that are likely, and then maybe a kind of a sleeper pick.
Easy. I've been thinking about it all day. I think three teams, obviously Miami. Although, you know, a lot of people think they may not have enough skill. You know, here's a guy who needs to be in a position where he's it. Like, he can't go to a team that, oh, you went 2-14 last year.
Yeah, but I think they're closer than people think. And Reggie Wayne did an interview today where he was kind of saying, oh, it'd be great. Because Reggie Wayne's a free agent, too, and so is Garcon. And Wayne has basically said, how cool would it be if me and Manning end up in Miami? Now, if you put him, Wayne, Brandon Marshall, and Bush, yeah. I mean, that's a really good team.
That is a very good team. And they would just need to draft some defense. I don't like Washington. I don't think he'd go there.
The only reason he'd go to Washington, and they said on NFL Network today that they have the cap room where they could bring in Garcon and Wayne along with him if they wanted to.
Hmm. I don't know if Peyton would get along with Mike Shanahan, though.
I don't see it. I don't think that.
No, I don't think
and I don't think he wants to play his brother twice a year.
No, I don't think so either. Speaking of his brother, I don't think he's going to go to the Jets, only for the reason that I just don't think the Jets have enough money.
Oh, they could make it happen if they wanted to money-wise, but I don't know. I don't think he wants to go into New York, and I just don't think they need to go that route again. I think they just tailored the whole offense around trying to rehab Sanchez by bringing Sperano in, and I don't see it. I think it's going back to the well too soon after the Favre thing. And it's like, you know, it shows they'd have any lack of direction and that they're too reactionary. It's like they've committed to Sanchez. I think he deserves another year with Sperano. I mean, he went to back-to-back AFC title games. He had a up-and-down year last year. But as we saw, there's a ton of turmoil in the locker room, you know, surrounding him. So,
yeah, exactly. All right, so my teams would be Miami. I'm starting to slowly like the possibility of him going to Arizona. Even though they did sign Cobb, I think.
Well, they said that's on. Someone tweeted that's on his short list officially. Is Arizona is one of his teams?
But here's my pick. You heard it here first. Peyton Manning will be a Houston Texan.
Interesting.
Because they have no love for Matt Schaub. They could care less. And
he's really good, though.
He is good. But if they can get Peyton Manning, he's indoors. He'll be in the same division as the Colts, which would be pretty funny. And
the thing is, they got to own that division anyway. So you think they necessarily need him at this point?
I think they need him to go to the Super Bowl.
All right.
They've got Andre Johnson. They've got, I mean, could you imagine all these years that Peyton Manning, I mean, he did have edge in the beginning, but he turns around. He's got Arian Foster behind him, and he's going to have a lot of skill guys.
But think about it. They were so close to going to the AFC title game with TJ Yates. I mean, I think Schaub gets them. I think they go to the Super Bowl if they had Schaub this year. I think there's no doubt about that in my mind.
I think so, too. But I think here, if they can make – and I think they want to – you know, I think they want to – right now, they want to maybe usurp the Cowboys as Texas's team. And right now, they have a better chance. I mean, I'll admit it. I mean, they probably right now have a better chance to go to the Super Bowl than the Cowboys do. So I think there's a chance there. And they probably have the money. They don't have any really, really high-priced guys. I mean, if they can keep Mario Williams and work on the defense a little bit, they've got the skill guys. I think Houston would be a perfect spot.
It's a possibility. I think Schaub's good enough that they don't need him. But all right, here's mine.
Okay.
Miami's obviously the obvious kind of favorite. Arizona's up there. Seattle, I think, is a good spot for him. They have a very good defense, a very good offensive line, Marshawn Lynch. And if they could bring him in and get Reggie Wayne and you pair him up with Sidney Rice, you know, and they'd have a pretty legit team in that division.
I don't know if he likes that weather, though. I don't know if he could survive those Decembers and drizzle. And I know he likes that perfect indoor thing.
That's why Arizona has it.
Football-wise, I agree with you. Seattle would be a good fit. But it's
that's why Arizona may be in the lead, because they play in the dome. You know, nine of their games, because they play St. Louis once a year as well, or a dome game. So, but here's my your version of Houston is my outside the box one. I actually called this a while ago to some guys at work, and then I'm seeing it floated around more today. It's cropped up, and that is Denver. If there was ever a chance for Elway to get rid of Tebow, this is it. Obviously, Elway, I don't think he likes Tebow. I don't think he wants to keep Tebow as his quarterback. Tebow mania so ingrained there that the only way would be to bring in a guy like a Peyton Manning, very similar to Elway. They have a young team, a very stacked team, a weaker division. So I'm going to go with them as kind of my outside-the-box pick.
Should be interesting. Again, weather, you know.
Peyton, Manning looks like a horse. You'd play with the, stay with the horse team.
Go from the historically, Colts to the Manning Broncos. Not good in cold weather, yeah. As we saw. He's like 0-8 in Foxborough, so I don't know. But again, I'm just looking. Those to me, those are variables. Mm-hmm. But Denver, I think, would be a would be a very surprise pick. But you know, logistically, it makes sense. But I think the team. I didn't realize. There was a big thing. There was today on the Tim Brando show. Which is simulcast on the CBS Sports Network. Obviously, he's on XM2. They were talking about the 2 years ago when the Dolphins had a chance to get Drew Brees,
right.
And the flush that, or a few years ago when they tried to get Drew Brees and flush that down the toilet, and instead took Dante Culpepper. I don't know if they'll do that again. So
no, Miami's
if they have a
the obvious
to get
pick.
Peyton Manning, they're going to get him.
That's I mean, if they get him and Wayne, I'm not going to be happy. I'm really hoping he just goes to Seattle or Arizona and goes to the NFC. If he's not going to go to the Jets. So, all right, let's wrap things there. We can talk about plenty of college hoops on Monday night with the preview. I think we need to get into that now. So, Graham, anything sure. You want to talk about extra before we wrap up? If you're still there.
Did he go? Look at that, huh? Slipped out the back door. Like Daniel Bryan in all of his matches.
I wonder if he's too busy tweeting.
Hashtag.
Actually, is he going? Dennis, I don't know. Dennis, no, I don't think so.
Hashtag Dennis Stamp rules. What?
Graham, you with us? Nope, no, he did drop off.
He did drop off. Okay.
That slimy bastard. All right. Well, we will definitely wrap things up there then. So
yes.
That brings an end to this edition of the Place to Be podcast. Actually, he's calling me, but I'm not going to fall into that trap. So hang on 1 second. I hang up on him. Well, we all saw what happened with the LaRue mess.
That's true. Yeah. Although I don't know if I can trust the Broham to not throw some kind of nonsense.
But I think if I accept his call,
oh, okay.
It won't be good. Stop calling me, Graham.
What the hell was the feud going on in 2000 at WCW? Was this the New Blood versus the Millionaires Club or whatever that stupid thing was? Is that what this was with Shane Douglas and Vampiro and all these freaking guys? Is that what this was going on in 2000? Luger and...
Are you hearing that phone ringing? Are you happy with us?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I kept hanging up on you because I needed to call you to make this work, so...
I was wondering why you guys were not listening to me for the past 10 minutes.
Yes, were you talking?
I was like, you guys are becoming really assholes. What happened? Like talking over me and what the crap?
Well, we thought you just bowed out of the Manning conversation. So I'm like, Graham, anything else you want to talk about? And then you were just gone. So, Graham, before we wrap up the show, is there anything you would like to talk about?
Well, I think in terms of the Manning situation, and I will admit my favorite sports are fake sports. But here are just a few teams that I see some opportunities where I think he could make a big impact. The first one is Strike Force.
Yes. Yeah. They've been having some issues lately.
Yes.
I mean, Tito does not know what the hell he's doing.
He's a looser.
Another one is Rude's Brood.
Mm-hmm.
Half the team is dead, so there are some opportunities. And then, of course, the Foreign Fanatics.
Mr. Cawthon, do you have an issue with my team?
But I think he could easily walk into any of those teams and make an immediate impact.
The Fanatics especially, because I think they could have won that match against the All-Americans if you got a guy like Manning in there.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, he might have coat.
He might have done a good job, you know, keeping that Diesel Shawn team together at the '94 Survivor Series before they all walked out on him. Yes. You know, could have done a very good job. So, one serious sports question: after one season, have you bought your Cam Newton jersey? You walk around proudly with your Cam Newton jersey down there.
Here's my understanding. Oh, by the way, my wife will not take me to a game. I've been asking to go for years. From my understanding, we are a sucky team, but we suck even more when he's unable to play. Is that pretty accurate?
Yes.
Okay.
That's accurate.
Yeah.
But geez, when he can play, we don't lose as badly.
Number one sports fan, Graham Cawthon.
Yes. All right. Well, Graham, it has been a pleasure. Mm-hmm. We thank you as always. And go to his site, everyone, thehistoryofwwe.com, a great research site. A lot of reviews. If you're having that nagging question about who invented the skinning the cat, that's where
Abraham Lincoln.
Yes. That's where Rob. Yes, that's where Rob Houston and I found the answer to that.
Do you have any Lincoln match results on there?
Not yet. But I think for my 20 year expansion, I will.
I was going to say you don't have the high spots interviews with him and Mr. Senator Douglas over their best of seven 6 hour.
I'm surprised they haven't had Feinstein and those other guys do all these fucking rebooking things. I'm surprised they haven't done that yet. Kevin Sullivan rebooks Douglas versus Lincoln.
Did you ever see the best of seven series between those guys?
Yes. Yes.
Well, hopefully Scott can dig up some of his Heckerschmidt programs and he can help you with the match.
Yeah, me and Toots were talking with Stanislaus in the back on the back booth. So,
all right. So yes, visit Graham's page as well on Facebook and at Twitter. You can follow him at gcawthon 70 something.
What are you talking about? The history on Twitter? It's just Graham Cawthon.
I don't know. Shut up, man. I got a 2-week-old and it's fucking midnight. All right, I'm done.
It's a hashtag. And then you're all set. Okay.
Make those hashtags trend, please, as well. I'm on NXT and I have other arrangements and all that. So. All right, there you have it. Please visit us at our message board as well, bigelow34.proboards.com. You can visit all our read all our reviews. We just posted Backlash 2007. Judgment Day will hopefully be up someday soon as well. Elite Eight of the Hottie Tournament, and after that, and we'll be doing some other tournaments as well, so keep your eyes peeled there. With that said, I'm Justin Rosero, that is Scott Criscolo, and that is Graham Cawthon. And thank you for listening. We'll be back eventually with In Your House 5, and Graham, hopefully you'll be back for WrestleMania 12 in a few weeks as well. So, with all
or
of that...
Or something good.
I'm sorry?
Or the Rumble or something good.
Okay, so you're something. They'll just have you on every other show or something like that.
Okay.
You can just send us a list of the ones you want to be on.
All right.
So for this trifecta of greatness, the triple threat of wrestling knowledge, I am Justin Rosero. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Night, Bambina.
Shed this skin, we can know how we feel inside. Instead of going down an endless road, not knowing if we did or lied.